the Morning News Express on WFMD. 301-694-9363, 301-694-WFMD. You can also email us, Bob at WFMD.com. It's Bob at WFMD.com. Ryan at WFMD.com. I know we're going to get into a great guest coming up in just a couple minutes. You're never, not going to want to miss it. But I saw the article in the paper today that says, why COVID boosters weren't tweaked to do better, to better match variants. Because they didn't have to.
Right.
Because the government's sitting there saying, you get vax, we're going to mandate it. And basically, you're just getting more of what you got.
Yeah, I'm still skeptical about Delta variants. I still think that COVID exists. Of course, I'm not a scientist, and I do question things all the time. But, you know, I'm still questioning the variants because it's almost like they're setting the parameters so high that you're forced to get vaccinated. Everything centers on you getting vaccinated come hell or high water, right? So we have this Delta variant out there that's scaring people into submission. You have to get vaccinated against that. But wait a minute, the vaccines don't work against the variant, so now we have to get a booster. But do the boosters work against the variant? That's my question.
Right. And the other, there's another article. It says medications in use and being tested for the treatment of COVID-19. So, you know, one of those, I mean, we've been talking about those for a long time. I mean, you look at the FDA has approved
Remdesivir,
right? And then you had, you know, everything that Donald Trump said that, you know, ivermectin. Well, I don't think he took ivermectin, but of course, there was other drugs that hydroxychloroquine and stuff. And he was able to survive it. And people were just like, oh, he's just a snake oil salesman. Well, it seems to be proven and seems to be working. And I think that we need to really focus on those things to help people get over this if their own immune systems can't fight it off for themselves.
Yeah, if there was an alternative treatment against COVID, would we know about it? Probably not, because Big Pharma is making money hand over fist with these three vaccines. But again, you know, you're not an anti-vaxxer if you question the vaccine treatments. You're just curious.
Yeah.
You know, enough with the anti-vax sentiment. We know that people that are against vaccines are not anti-vaxxers. In fact, you know, I don't care if you're gay. I don't care if you're vaccinated. I don't care if you just want to, you know, you just want to live your life the way you want to live it.
Or like a Buffalo Bills fan.
Exactly. I don't care. Just keep it to yourself. And make your health your responsibility. Enough with the division. It's interesting that every time I get somebody to speak out against Donald Trump, they never can cite which policies exactly are working with Joe Biden. They always just rip Donald Trump's character.
Right.
And that calls into question of our current president. If you really feel that strongly about our current president, tell me what's working with him, because all of this is not working.
Well, they, you know, left will go, well, we've gotten vaccinated. The people are getting vaccinated. People are living. Hmm. People are surviving. When Donald Trump was there, people were dying, and he didn't care about it. Mm-hmm. That's what you get.
Yeah.
You know, well, tell us why we're, well, you know, how about shutting down the pipeline with that? Well, that was good. How about, you know, X, Y, and Z, you know, not even knowing that China firing it off a very devastating rocket that could destroy the whole Earth. Yeah, we don't care about that. We didn't even really know about that. All right. It is 8:15. I am looking forward to our guest coming up. Coming up in just a couple minutes, we're going to talk to a he is retired, right?
He is retired, living the nice life. But we're going to get into Captain James Warner, an American hero, coming up talking about the late General Colin Powell. And by the way, three words, Bob, to leave you with before sports. Let's go, Brandon.
A21 at WFMD. It's the Morning News Express. Bob Miller, Ryan Hedrick. And Ryan, we've got a wonderful guest on the phone with us this morning.
Yeah, we certainly do, Bob. I want to intro him, give him the introduction he properly deserves, and then we'll bring him up. Captain James Warner was a prisoner of war, really an incredible American. He was shot down In an F-4 Phantom over Vietnam in 1967, he spent 5.5 years as a prisoner of war and 2 years with John McCain. And after he came home, he put himself through law school, and he worked in the Reagan White House as a senior domestic policy advisor. He's done a lot more than a lot of us will ever do in our life, and he's living a good life right now, retired. And we welcome to the show Captain James Warner. Thank you for joining us on the Morning News Express. Good morning, sir.
Thank you. It's good to be with you, but I'm sorry to have it be on this occasion.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's get right into this. Tell us about your relationship with the late General Colin Powell.
Okay, he was brought into the White House after the Iran-Contra problem, and he was made domestic or the National Security Advisor. And he was a friend of mine from high school, had worked with him in the Pentagon. An opening came up in the Pentagon, and my friend suggested to Powell that he look at me for that opening. So General Powell interviewed me. He recommended me, but I didn't get the job. But that's not a disappointment, because if you're in the White House and you don't get sent somewhere else, you can't be disappointed at that. Anyway, from that time on, when I saw something that needed to be done, despite the fact that my calling was domestic policy, if I thought something needed to be done, this is my experience as an officer in the Marine Corps. If you see something that needs to be done, call it to the attention of your superiors, regardless of what it is. So I would, from time to time, write him memoranda, and I noticed that he always quickly responded. And there's something about him that I learned from my friend that really made him what he was. He never owned a new car. He always bought old Volvos, took them home, took them completely apart, rebuilt them. And what I've said is, you can't do that unless you think sequentially. First you put this part in, then you got to put this part in. And if you don't put the right part in at the right time, it isn't going to work. So he knew how to think sequentially. Well, here we look at what happened in Afghanistan, and we knew we had weapons at Bagram, some of which were made with classified technology. We knew we had people there that had helped us during the war who needed to get out, because we knew that the Taliban was going to take over when we left, and Biden knew that we were going to leave. He said that when he got elected. And yet nobody did anything. They left the weapons there. They left the interpreters there. How anybody could have bungled like that, I don't know, but I'm certain Colin Powell would not have.
We're talking with Captain Jim Warner, and first of all, again, thank you for your service. It was interesting that he was able to kind of work with multiple administrations, and is that because of how you think that he thought, you know, sequentially?
Yes, and he was very smart and very well versed. He was a student of military history, and he really knew it well. And he was just easy to get along with. That people liked him. He liked people.
He at one point, correct me if I'm wrong, Captain Warner, but he disassociated himself from the Republican Party because of a strained relationship with Donald Trump? Yes, no?
I believe that that's true. I have trouble understanding that myself. I supported Trump. Still do, actually. But the people that hate, I mean, there are many Democrats that I don't agree with, but I don't hate them. So I don't really understand Trump hatred. But I have difficulty hating anyway, so I maybe it's just me.
Well, any other thoughts that you think about when you think about Colin Powell? Any anecdotal thoughts, or you said you've known him for a very long time? Anything that you can share personally that would be kind of, you know, kind of like the Volvo thing, but you know, maybe humorous or what?
Not humorous, but. During the difficulties in Nicaragua, an American who was a supporter of the communists was killed by the Contras. And the left around the world claimed that this was an unjust killing because he was disarmed. Somebody asked the State Department to send somebody from the embassy up there to determine whether the guy was armed or not. And the embassy said it was too dangerous. So I wrote Colin Powell a note. I had a friend that I had lived with in prison who was also a Marine. Orson Swindle was at that time Assistant Secretary of Commerce. And I said, Secretary Swindle and I would be willing, we've faced danger before, so we'd be willing to go down there and do this, inspect this. And he sent me a note several days later saying, at that point, they had found out that the guy actually was armed, and he said, we don't need to send anybody anymore, but we seriously considered sending you. And I thought that was good, because I thought most people would think that is a stupid idea.
Captain...
It might have been, but I was willing to do it because it was for the good of the cause.
Captain Warner, thank you so much for joining us on the Morning News Express. Your recollections of the late General Colin Powell really provided some light as to who he was and his legacy. We appreciate you making time, and I would invite you back to talk about other politics. We could really get into a lot with you, but under limited circumstances, we have a little less time today than we do most days. Thank you, Captain Warner. I appreciate it, and thank you for your service.
You're quite welcome, and it was a privilege to serve.
Morning News Express, good morning. 8:52, Bob and Ryan getting you on the tracks this morning. Getting you to work. It is a wonderful day, beautiful day out there.
There is, you know, there's something wrong with the people that call in to agitate. I respect everybody's point of view, but I received a rather nasty call from somebody that has some disparaging remarks about our last guest.
And I know who he is because he sent an email.
Yeah.
We hadn't had time for me to discuss it because if it's the same thing, go ahead and tell us what he said.
Well,
obviously.
I mean, how bored do you have to be to call in and spew such hatred? And I sensed hate in his voice. I don't know. I could be wrong mischaracterizing him. If I did, I apologize. But he compared the last guest to Donald Trump, calling him a loser. And, you know, it's just...
Well, his context was that when it was John McCain and John McCain was coming out and Donald Trump said, you know, that... I'm paraphrasing here because this is what he did.
Mm-hmm.
He says, anybody who gets caught is a loser, not a hero.
Yeah. It's funny how... And I'm assuming this guy is a left-leaning... Right.
I don't have no idea.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's just a listener.
Okay.
So I mean, you know, he's allowed to have an opinion,
he is.
And I'm glad he sends them to us.
Yeah, and that's what we talked about earlier in the show. We talked about the freedom to have a differing opinion, and I love listening to both sides. And much like that guy in the auto and tire center yesterday when I was getting my car serviced, I mean, we had the ability to agree to disagree. And it ended politely with us talking about sports and finding some sort of common ground. But these people that seem to have this overbearing opinion, their opinion's right, and they're demonstrative about it, and they're telling you about it, and they won't let it go. That's great. If you want to call into the station and cast an opinion about somebody you don't know, and I understand what he was trying to say, but I mean, he called back twice, and I'm dealing with stuff here, dealing with the pet of the week and things of that nature, stuff that nobody knows about or needs to know about. But, I mean, again, let's stop the hate.
Yeah.
Can we just agree to disagree and leave it at that?
Well, then people would say, who are listening, who are on maybe the other side of the aisle, would be like, okay, well, then stop the hate against Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, you know, the people that you might come out and just ridicule every single day. How do you then, you know, providing the facts, sometimes our opinions do sneak in. Our opinions, not the news, but our opinions will sneak in because that's what we're paid to do.
Right.
But yes, I mean, sometimes it is when you try to have a discussion, what happens is it's that the left will just continue to argue no matter what until they believe that they've won.
Yeah,
and that's how they've been taught to do it.
And I would very respectfully say that they think they've already won before they claim victory, because once they start talking, the only thing they know is that they're right. much like our mayor, our beloved Frederick Mayor Michael O'Connor comes in here every fourth Tuesday of the month. And when he talks with conviction and he talks like he thinks he's right all the time. You can't tell Mayor O'Connor anything without him thinking that he's right. And people just need to understand. And I guess some people may never understand. There's two sides to every story. But as Americans, we can agree and then hopefully walk away from the situation with an understanding of where we're at. On our respective sides, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it is absolutely. And I think that you can have discussions and you can, as you said earlier, can walk away and still have your opinion. I mean, that's what makes the world go around. If everybody believed what we believe, then it'd be kind of a dull and boring world. It would be, you know, everybody would have the right opinion and know the truth and the facts, but it still would be dull and boring.
Right, right. You know, I'm also also very carefully watching what Kamala Harris is doing day by day because.
Well, you've seen her? She does something?
Well, no. I mean, I've it's file footage at this point.
But, because she's not, when nobody knows who and where she is. Never is she anywhere.
However, I'm told, according to the New York Post this morning, that hundreds of churches across Virginia began airing a political ad featuring the absent. And this is not an editorialization. It's just a fact. The absent Vice President Kamala Harris urging viewers to vote for Terry McAuliffe for governor over the weekend, raising questions about the legality of the advertisement. Because the video advertisement that was first obtained by CNN is set to be aired in 300 churches across the state. The VP is the star of the ad in which she calls McAuliffe the leader Virginia needs at the moment. But
so hang on a second. Yeah. So I mean, I don't know what church you attend a regular basis. I know you've come to a couple of churches that I've attended, and the church that I attend now, Winter Haven Worship Center, they don't run commercials.
Yeah, well, there's actually a rule in place by the IRS that prevents churches and charities from getting involved in political campaigns, but they've crossed over that boundary. I think they crossed over it last year when they violated church and state and closed down churches, worship, told us how to worship, and things of that nature. So Harris is seen in these ads, and the law was actually approved by Congress in 1954. Maybe somebody should tell her about that.
Yeah, maybe. But, you know, that's not going to happen, Ryan.
Not at all.
All right, here we go. 858 at WFMD.
That's it. We're gone.
We are done.
Dang it. Show's over.
It ain't over yet.
Oh, yes, it is.
That was the whole show.
See you next time.
Bye.